In the book of Romans tonight, we're going to continue in our study. The book of Romans, we're in Romans chapter number 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 16 and 17 tonight. Romans chapter number 1, verses 16 and 17. I hope I've enjoyed personally the preparation and the time of being able to study this together. You know, the book of Romans is a seminal book when you look at it from the view of Christian growth. And there's a lot that we must consider in looking at the book of Romans. And really, there's a lot of foundational truth that we find here. We looked in the first part of Romans, just to review, we looked at the messenger Paul. We looked at the message that he had been commissioned to bring. Last week, we looked at his motives in the first 15 verses of this book. And now in verses 16 and 17, Paul turns the spotlight on the gospel that he's going to be writing about. In these two verses, we are given one of the greatest summaries of the gospel ever written by man. In it, we see a clear and definite purpose and plan and power in the gospel message. Paul's statements about the gospel really begin in a strange fashion. Out of the blue, he tells us what in verse number 16? The Bible says, "For I am not what? Ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." You know, in our day, this might sound a little awkward. Why would Paul say that he is not ashamed of the gospel? I think if we would understand the culture that Paul lived in, it might help us, Michael, understand why Paul's saying this. Number one, you've got to understand the moral condition of that day. Nero was the emperor of Rome. He was a wicked, degenerate man. The city of Rome was a cesspool of sin and wicked living. The gospel that Paul preached was diametrically opposed to everything Rome stood for. Number two, not only was the moral decay and culture, but number two, because Paul was a Jew. Jews were considered by many, it hasn't changed, has it? Was considered by many to be a subhuman race. They were fit for nothing but to be despised, mistreated, and enslaved. Ordinary Jews would have been tempted to shy away from non-Jews. Number three, I really believe Paul said the statement, made this statement, because the gospel he preached was almost unbelievable. Think of it. The Savior Paul was preaching was a male member of the despised Jewish race. He was said to be the Savior of man. He claimed to be the Son of God, but then in the same breath, also claimed to be the Son of man. His death was different than other men because he died on a Roman cross, Elizabeth. A cross, a symbol of shame. But in dying this death, he is said to have died for all men. And if this wasn't enough, think of this. If this wasn't enough, they claimed, and he claimed, to have risen the third day from the grave. It is a little unbelievable when you look at it from the standpoint of someone who had never heard it. Now, we've been conditioned and we have been taught so long that this is what the Bible says, that we know it makes sense to us. We can trust it by faith. But for the Romans, that was sort of an amazing story. Number four, I believe that Paul made this statement because everywhere Paul went preaching the cross, he was ridiculed, cast out, imprisoned, or treated cruelly. Many would not have been able to endure the shame of the cross. With all these things in mind, you know, it's easy to see why Paul would want to be clear about his stand on the gospel. He says, "I am not ashamed." Indeed, this was a man who was willing to share the message, and listen to me, pay the price to share it. He wasn't ashamed. He wasn't going to back down from what he knew to be the truth. After all, you know, the sad fact of the matter is that in our day, there's many that are ashamed of the gospel. many that won't stand up and really be the Christian and be counted as one of God's children, make it known. What did Paul know that kept him on going for the gospel? What was it about the gospel that invigorated Paul and kept driving him around the world preaching the same hated message? Think of it. I mean, most of us, sadly, the first time someone took a whip to us because we were strong, probably a lot of us would be a little ashamed of the gospel. The first time someone took up a stone and cast it at us because we were witnessing, we'd turn tail and run. Isn't that the sad truth? Paul didn't stop, did he? Paul, even though he was beaten, even though he was enslaved, even though he was in prison, even though he was stoned, he kept going. He's like the Energizer Bunny, man. That guy just kept going. You say, well, why? What drove him? We're going to look at that tonight in this message entitled, A Gospel We're Sharing. Let's pray together and we'll get into the message. Father, thank you for the time you've given us tonight to study your word. I pray as we continue our study in the book of Romans that you might reveal and speak to our hearts the things that need to be heard, the things that we need to deal with. Bless now, we ask. Holy Spirit, empower this message, I pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to look now, first of all, as we look at the gospel, we look at the reason it is worth sharing, the reason it is worth enduring the ridicule, the shame. Number one, because the gospel is powerful. We see the power of the gospel here. In verse 16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? It is the power of God." Paul tells us here, that the gospel is the power of God. This word power comes from a word that refers to might, energy, force, and strength that dwells within God. You know, God could have revealed His power against sin in any way He wanted. He could have wiped men, and He did that, nearly so, in Noah's day, from the face of the earth. He could have done anything that He wanted because He is an all-powerful God. He can do anything. Therefore, you know, it's a blessing to notice that when God wanted to deal with sin, He sent His Son Jesus to earth to give us the opportunity to come to this gospel of grace. Nowhere is the power of God so visible than in the gospel of Christ. Think of it. Think of what God does when someone gets saved. God takes a sinner and saves him by His grace and makes him a new creature. The drunk no longer drinks. The addict no longer shoots up. The pervert, the immoral, the whore monger no longer goes and plies their trade. God can change the heart, and He does change the heart of those who come to know Jesus Christ. What a powerful message it is. Listen, God could have sent us all to hell, but instead He chose to send us His love wrapped up in His Son, the Lord Jesus. I am thankful that God loved us first. The Bible says that we love Him. Why? Oh, I'm so glad that God loves us. And when you consider the gospel, notice that Paul's message is what? The gospel of Christ. He qualifies what gospel he was preaching. It wasn't the gospel of Joseph Smith. It wasn't the gospel of the Catholic Church. It wasn't the gospel of Buddha. It wasn't the gospel of Muhammad. It was the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
What a blessing. I tell you, today there is all kinds of gospels. There's the gospel of religion that says turn over a new leaf. There is a gospel of materialism that says your worth is determined by what you had. Get all you can get. There's the gospel of liberalism that says, I'm okay and you're okay. God accepts us just like we are and everybody's going to heaven. There's the gospel of society that says, do as you please for life is short. There is the gospel of Christ, however, that says this, you are a sinner and if you die in your sins, you will go to hell. However, God loves you and sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, into the world. Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead. And if you will place your faith in Him, you can have an eternal home in heaven.
That's the gospel that Paul was preaching, and that's the gospel that we have received. That's the gospel that we have believed, and that's the gospel that will get us to heaven. What a blessing. The question is what gospel are you trusting in tonight? Is it the gospel of Christ, or is it the gospel of something else? The power of the gospel. Oh, how powerful it is. Number two, we see the purpose of the gospel. Why did God go such long lengths for man? Why did He give up His Son to die on the cross for the sins of humanity? You know what the purpose, you know what the answer is? It's simple.
John 3:16, for God
so loved the world. Stop. You know why God came? Why God sent His Son Jesus Christ? He loved us. Simple, one word, love. However, there is more to it than that. God's plan and God's purpose in giving the gospel message is salvation. The word salvation is very important. It means this: safety, preservation, deliverance. It carries the idea of being rescued from all harm and danger. God's desire in saving sinners is to deliver us forever from spiritual death, spiritual defilement, spiritual destruction, and spiritual deception. That's what Paul is saying. He says, for it is the power of God unto what? Salvation. We must not forget that outside of the Lord Jesus is the fire of hell. God's purpose in giving the gospel is to change man's destination in eternity. And not only that, but his life on earth as well. Salvation not only delivers us from hell, but it gives us a life worth living here on earth. A life worth living is a life lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. The primary purpose of the gospel message is the salvation of the lost. I don't know about you, but I enjoy being saved. I tell you, we got to go out and spend some time at lunch today with Theora and Barbara, and we got to spend some time on Friday night with some folks, the Dyson and the Hawk, and I'm looking forward to getting to do more fellowshipping. But you know, we had a blast. What a great time. I'm so glad that I'm saved. I'm so glad. What a life that I get to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm grateful to the Lord that He gave us a salvation we don't have to worry about. I'm glad I don't have to lay my head down at night and worry, am I going to heaven? Am I right with God when it comes to salvation? I know! Man, I'm so glad. We see the purpose of the gospel is salvation. Number three, the plan of the gospel. Verse 16 tells us in no uncertain terms exactly how the gospel message is activated. Notice verse 16, it says, unto salvation to what? Everyone that believeth. This makes it perfectly clear that biblical salvation does not involve complicated religious rituals. It does not involve ornate or elaborate religious exercises. It does.
Salvation is simple. God doesn't say, well, if you come to church
and you give money and you do this and you do that, you do this and you do that, and then if you do a little of that, and then maybe when you get to heaven you can get in. No, He says, listen, salvation comes to those that believe.
Amen.
That's simple. I'm so glad that it is simple. The plan, salvation is the product of faith and faith alone. Just believing what God has said and acting upon it.
Yes.
For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, this is a point where most people stumble. People like to do things for themselves. People feel like they have to have a part in everything that they do. However, in the matter of salvation, we as sinners can have no part.
Yes.
You're not getting yourself saved.
No.
Jesus did it for you. In fact, if you think you're going to get yourself saved by the way you're living and the things you've done, then you're going to find out, horribly so, that you were wrong. The plan for salvation is to believe, to simply receive the message of Christ by faith. My question for you this evening is, what are you trusting in?
Well, Pastor, I'm trusting in my church sentence. You're wrong. I don't like it if you tell me I'm wrong, Pastor. I'm not telling you you're wrong. The Bible is.
by faith. Let me give you number four. So we see the power, the purpose, and the plan. Let's look at the pledge of the gospel. He says, to everyone that believeth, to what? The Jew first, and also to the Greek. You know what's great about the gospel?
It's not limited to 144,000.
You know what's great about the gospel? It's not limited to a race. Not limited to the color of your skin. Not limited to how much money you have. It's not limited to anything. It's available to everyone. The Bible says that God is not willing that what? Any. Again, the key word is any. But that all should come to repentance. The gospel is given to all men. Notice these words. We're going to go to Revelation 22:17. Our Savior speaks here and He says this. Revelation 22:17. The Bible says, if I can get there. And the Spirit and the Bride. So the Holy Spirit and the Bride of Christ, the Bride say what? Come. And let him that heareth say come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. John 6 in verse number 37, we find our Savior saying this. The Bible says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. I love this. What a beautiful verse. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You know what Jesus says, Michael? Jesus says, if you come to me, I'm not going to cast you out. I'm not going to kick you out. If you don't come to me, I will accept you. I will take you as my own. But you have to come to him. Every man is included. Many have labored over the term here in Romans chapter 1:16. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. It shouldn't bother you. The gospel came first to the Jew in reference to priority. He gave the gospel to the Jew first in reference to time. God had been dealing with the Jewish people for thousands of years. And when He sent His Son, the Messiah, to the Jewish people, they rejected Him. And now the Lord has turned to the Gentile people of the world to offer them salvation as well. Let me give you the fifth point. We see the power of the gospel, the purpose of the gospel, the plan of the gospel, the pledge of the gospel. Number five, we see the product of the gospel. You know what the gospel produces in someone's life? Righteousness. You see, man has two great problems. You know what man's problems is? Number one, man, Michael, man thinks he's righteous and is therefore acceptable to the Lord. Number two, you know what man's second greatest problem is?
He's totally wrong about the Lord.
Man is not righteous and man is not acceptable to God in his natural state. Man cannot produce righteousness by self-will or his own works. Look at verse 17. For therein, in the gospel, is what? The righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. When faith is placed in the gospel message and Jesus is believed on in your heart, God takes the sinner and declares him to be righteous. What man cannot do by effort. There's a lot of people today, even in the churches around our community today, they were there trying to be righteous. They were there by their own effort trying to be acceptable to God. They're going to fail. You can't do it. The only way to be righteous and acceptable to God is to allow God to declare you to be righteous. To allow the righteousness of Christ on your account. Simply stated, everything man looks for in religion, peace with God, acceptance by God, a right relationship with God, are all given to us when we, William, believe the gospel message. What a message. It ought to get you excited to think of what the gospel is and what it means. You know what? It ought to drive you to share it with others. I want to challenge you tonight. And I think many in here are believers. I don't know if everyone is. I wouldn't make that assumption. But if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're not for sure that if you die this very day that your home would be in heaven,
the gospel is available to you.
No matter how wicked you've been, no matter how bad you've been, God offers the gospel to you, salvation to you tonight. Will you receive it? What does the phrase in verse number 17, from faith to faith, mean? It simply refers to the fact that the believer's life is to be one of faith in God. And his life is lived by faith. The righteousness of God is revealed in the believer's life from beginning faith to ending faith.
When God changes your life, He changes it.
1 Corinthians chapter number 5. If any man be in Christ, he is a what?
Old things have passed away.
Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. What is it? It is written what? The just shall live by faith. God makes a difference in our lives, and I'm so glad that He has. And I want to challenge you tonight. This gospel that Paul says he wasn't ashamed of, it is worth sharing. We've got tracts on the back table, and it's a shame, and I'm ashamed to say that many times I go without Bible tracts, I go without witnessing, and you know what? In essence, you know what I'm saying to God is, God, I'm ashamed of what your gospel says. I don't deem it important enough to share it with those who are lost. Paul says, I'm ready to share it. I'm ready. I'm not ashamed. I don't care if everybody mocks me. That's a lot of times why we won't share it.
We don't like to share it because we know people will mock us.
We don't like to share it because we know people won't like us. We don't like to share it because we might get embarrassed when someone says no.
Paul says, I'm not ashamed. Oh, but what a blessing it is when we share it. God's Holy Spirit, like a dagger, reaches into the heart of that man or that woman and convicts them of their sin, and they come to know Jesus Christ. Oh, what a blessing that is!
How we shout with joy when some sinner comes to know Christ!
If we could just keep that in our minds, when the devil lies to us, says they don't want it.
When the devil lies to you and you're getting ready to hand a trap to that loved one, when you're getting ready to hand a trap to that co-worker, when you're getting ready to speak the gospel to someone that you care about or someone that you've met, and the devil whispers in your ear,
they don't want to hear.
Oh, they'll make fun of you. They won't like you. Or maybe at work, you'll get in trouble. You'll get rebuked by your boss.
May in our minds come the thought and remembrance of
those things. May in our minds and our hearts the realization that hell is real and it is hot. And that man without Jesus Christ is headed straight there. Oh, the shame of the matter is that unlike Paul, we would have to say, I am ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He said, Pastor, I'd never say that. No, you may not say that with your mouth.
So often we say it with our lives.
We say, oh God, it's not worth it. It's not worth the embarrassment. It's not worth the ridicule. I'm sure glad.
Aren't you? I don't know how you came to know Christ, but I'm sure glad that I had friends and I had parents and I had a preacher who wasn't ashamed.
Right.
Didn't care whether I liked it or not, but just simply told me what the truth was.
And don't our friends and loved ones deserve that? I'm going to be real honest with you. I know that in my life I've lost some zeal for women.
And I know that if I've lost it, I would imagine that there are others here that would have to say, you know, Pastor, you're right, I've lost my zeal.
We got to be a soul winning church. We got people that want to witness and care. We got to be that kind of folks because that's what God wants us to do. I challenge you. You don't have Bible tract? Grab you some tonight before you leave. Hand them out. And not just hand them out, but share the gospel with folks. Man, let God use you. And may we be able to stand and say,
I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Amen. Man, you need to be able to stand and say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm going to tell my family, I'm going to tell all those people a good news, but to all Jesus. Amen. Maybe this is time to be able to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm going to keep telling my grandchildren and my children that they need to come to Jesus.
Amen.
Maybe we'll rather be able to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm going to keep telling my brother-in-laws and my sister-in-laws and all those men at my work how they need to come to know Jesus. I'm not ashamed. May Andrew Teasdale be able to stand up and say, I'm not ashamed because you know what? I'm going to go to my neighbors. I'm going to go to my co-workers. I'm going to go to the neighborhoods around our church. And I'm going to tell people about Jesus because I don't want them to go to hell. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Oh, may we be able to say that as Paul said that. With every head bowed and every eye closed.